The annual Fair Trade Fortnight was launched in the United Kingdom this past weekend. Its aim to encourage more consumers to choose items bearing the Fair Trade guarantee that farmers in developing countries have been paid a fair price for their goods. This year's fortnight of awareness-raising events kicked off as the sugar giant Tate & Lyle announced it was becoming the largest UK firm to carry the Fair Trade label. The Catholic Church and other faith groups have been strongly supportive of this campaign to help farmers, their families and communities in the poorest parts of the world. Father Joe Ryan heads the Justice and Peace Commission for London's Westminster Diocese, which has focused on the Fair Trade campaign in a recent ecumenical multimedia project.
Just 10 days ago, we had a launch of a CD and some material which we would hopefully send out to parishes in connection with justice and peace issues. And one of the main items, or one of the items in that particular release, was to do with fair trade and encouraging people to learn a bit more and to investigate and to understand and appreciate and get involved in fair trade issues. And mainly the purpose there is to make sure that a fair price is given to farmers and producers, in particularly in third world countries. And so that was one issue that's been ongoing for many years. And now in the recent few days, we've obviously begun our Fair Trade Fortnight. And there are a few events taking place in various parishes in Wellingarn City in Hertfordshire on Friday next at the parish of Queen of Apostles, a film evening showing the Great African Scandal and Black Gold and other issues in order to highlight how we can get involved and be aware of the whole fair trade issue and how it can help the farmers, in particularly in developing countries.
What kind of responses have you had from people there in the parishes? I mean, would you say that this is an issue that people of faith are perhaps more aware of and more responsive to than others?
The response has been very good, particularly because in our parishes we've been carrying fair trade goods now for a number of years. But the brilliant news is that our supermarkets are getting involved. And when you think of the fact that Tate and Lyle have made a decision in the last few days, Tate and Lyle, who are the source of sugar, they will be now using fair trade suppliers. And that's a big breakthrough. But in the parishes, what we are hoping to do is, as well as having the items available at the churches and after masses and in parish halls and using them at various functions, our main aim, one of the things I would like to see and to push forward, is that people would be, in their normal weekly shopping, would actually include the fair trade goods in their shopping. And this would be just a normal routine situation where they're looking for tea and coffee and fresh fruits and bananas and wine and roses and all the thousand items that are on the fair trade market now.
Lent is a particularly good time. The season of Lent is a particularly good time, isn't it, to be trying to get people to become more aware of these issues and the way in which their actions can affect others.
Yes, indeed. And this is the great value of the Fair Trade Fortnight. And as it happens, it falls right in the middle of Lent. I suppose when people are maybe a little bit more conscious of their brothers and sisters in need, more conscious of what it is traditionally, the whole concept of Lent has to do with prayer, fasting and almsgiving. And not so much that we're giving alms to the poor, but what it means is that we are raising the consciousness, and in that way we're actually returning to many people in the third world some of what is already their rights. So yes, so Lent is a time when people maybe would do things that they wouldn't consider doing other times of the year, and hopefully something that begins in Lent then would be something that would continue and percolate throughout the year, which I think is how it has to be, not just the 2 weeks.
Your new resource, your new CD, talks about the spirituality of justice and peace, doesn't it? Can you give us a little bit more insight into this?
so often when people speak, or when the matter of justice and peace is raised, sometimes people, the eyes glaze over because they feel, well, it's nothing to do with me, or anyhow, I wouldn't, what I say or do doesn't matter. And the very center of what we were putting forward, and the title of our resource was No Hands But Ours. And that, in a sense, it sums up the whole idea of the ecumenical multimedia resource that we've put forward, that, yes, what we do and say does matter. Like the old saying, if everybody swept in front of their own door, the whole street would be clean. And it's an ongoing thing. And I'm very heartened by the way people have been responding to needs of others, brothers and sisters in need, and particularly people who have no voice of their own, that we as a group who can put forward ideas, and that we have a great responsibility. And part of this resource was to highlight some of that.
You say this is an ecumenical resource, and yet it's true that the churches could do much more together, couldn't they, to really help people
absolutely,
in need?
Absolutely, because when we're helping the, and this is one of the items that was raised very well at our launch day, you know, when somebody is homeless or hungry or not on a fair wage or a migrant, they're not asking, you know, well, what is your particular faith or allegiance? If somebody is there at the time of need, that's the essence. And, of course, this is the whole gospel message. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was in prison and you came to my help, and in prison in whatever shape or form. And that's one of the items that we've been pushing for in our ecumenical activities.
Justice comes, it doesn't stop at the minimum. People know that there's change in the air, and I think I'm quite excited about the huge possibility of producers and growers in developing countries having their voices heard.
As field worker for the Westminster Justice and Peace Commission, Barbara Kentish has been actively promoting the fair trade campaign and ideals of trade justice throughout the diocese and beyond.
Well, about a year ago, the Commission decided that we would like to promote Westminster as a fair trade diocese. And what that means is that more than half the parishes have to agree to register with the Fair Trade Foundation, which is a charitable body. And there are three criteria. One is that they must serve fair trade tea and coffee at all their parish meetings. Second, that they should promote other products as well, to increase their use of fair trade. And thirdly, to organise an event during Fair Trade Fortnight to promote the whole concept. So we sent out a survey to find out how many parishes, there are 216 parishes in the diocese, how many parishes were signed up, and it was something like 40 at the time. It's gone up to about 60 now, and tried to encourage, you know, other people in the diocese to take it up, and we did it through articles and talks and organising film evenings. I'm actually talking at two masses about fair trade. I think that one or two of the priests were a bit concerned that we were sort of signing up to the Fair Trade Foundation and we were all too bound up with one particular organisation. I think we have to make clear that fair trade is just part of a movement towards trade justice for, you know, so that people in the developing world have the right to a fair deal for their produce and their goods. And if it's through our being more ethical consumers, that's one way. And so that's what this is about. We could also do lobbying of government. And in fact, in my own parish, we're getting people to sign the little cards that we send off to Gordon Brown and say, please, can we have fairer European partnership agreements, which, you know, can cut out third world producers in favour of, you know, European suppliers. I mean, sugar is one of the cases in point, because sugar is produced in Europe and it's produced in developing countries.
There are critics who say that the Fair Trade campaign doesn't really provide more than minimal improvements in the lives of the poorest people, that we need much more significant structural changes, and that Fair Trade is really more about flattering Western shoppers than really transforming lives in developing countries. What's your reaction to that?
I think that it's a beginning. I think it's a beginning of a better relationship with the people that produce our goods. I don't think it's the whole story. I agree that there's a lot of profiteering on the way from producer to supermarket shelf. However, it's a wake-up call to us, and I don't think that we should be fobbed off with people saying, oh, well, it's just to flatter our consciences, or it's just to make the supermarkets look better. I think all the publicity that's going with this is showing us through either video clips or even feature films, is showing what is happening in these countries. And we can't go into a supermarket anymore in a sort of blind way and think, well, you know, this is all coming to us on some kind of magic conveyor belt. This is coming through people's blood, sweat and tears. And I think it's a thin end of the wedge. I think there's going to be quite a movement. You know, when justice comes, it doesn't stop at the minimum. People know that there's change in the air. And I think I'm quite excited about the huge possibility of producers and growers in developing countries having their voices heard. Friday night, for instance, in Welwyn Garden City, I'm helping to organise a film evening, and we thought it would just be a film evening, but then we got wind of the fact that some producers might be available, and we've got a rice producer from Thailand coming to talk, and she's going to talk about the difference that the Fair Trade Agreement means to their community. So, you know, it's the beginnings of an awakening in other areas. There are moves to make a particular town or city, a fair trade town or city. I suspect quite a lot of that is church inspired. Certainly in Welwyn Garden City, I know they're trying to make that a fair trade borough, and I think there are quite a lot of church people involved in that, and they're coming along to our evening. The Fair Trade Foundation itself, of course, was started by the aid agencies like Christian Aid, CAFOD, but also Oxfam, which is not religious, the World Development Movement. So I think there's a broad coalition of people, but you know, church people are certainly playing a large part.
Thanks there to Barbara Kentish, field worker for the Justice and Peace Commission of the Westminster Diocese. And earlier you heard Father Joe Ryan, chair of that same commission.